Acts chapter 12, verses 18 through 24. This is the word of the Lord. Now when day came, there was no little disturbance among the soldiers over what had become of Peter. And after Herod searched for him and did not find him, he examined the sentries and ordered that they should be put to death. Then he went down from Judea to Caesarea and spent time there. Now Herod was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and they came to him with one accord. And having persuaded Blastus, the king's chamberlain, they asked for peace, because their country depended on the king's country for food. On an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes, took his seat upon the throne, and delivered an oration to them. And the people were shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a man." Immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him down, because he did not give God the glory. And he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. But the word of God increased and multiplied. This is the word of the Lord. We have said that the deliverance of Peter should in many ways remind us of the Exodus. For we are told that when Peter was imprisoned, it was Herod's intention to bring him out to the people after the Passover. And then we are told that it was on that very night that Peter was delivered. And so we may understand that the night of Peter's deliverance was the night of the Passover. And when the angel wakes Peter, what does he say to him? He says, "Get up quickly, dress yourself, and put on your sandals. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And in these words to Peter, we hear the echo of the Lord's words to his people, that they should eat the Passover in haste, with their belts fastened and their sandals on their feet and their staffs in their hand. That night, it was a night of watching. And so it is that we find those in the house of Mary awake and praying. And we said that if we keep in mind these allusions to the Passover night, we may read the exchange between the servant girl Rhoda with those that were gathered at the house of Mary in a somewhat different way. For we said that on the night of that first Passover, the last thing anyone of the house of Israel would have dared to do was to open the door of their house. For the Lord had commanded his people that none should go out of the door of his house until morning. And why? Because the Lord that night would pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to enter their house to strike them. What else then might they have said to a servant girl preparing to open the door? But the very thing those gathered at the house of Mary said to Rhoda, "You are out of your mind." and when she insisted that it was Peter at the door, they in turn insist it is his angel. And by this we may understand that they did not mean the angel of Peter, but the angel of the Lord, which is what Peter himself had said after his deliverance. Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me. Now, perhaps we may not insist on reading the text in this way, but it is at the very least interesting. And it becomes even more interesting and perhaps more compelling when we turn to our passage this evening. For when we think of the Passover, we should remember it as a night of deliverance. But it was not only a night of deliverance. It was also a night of judgment. For though the Israelites were saved, the Egyptians, they were struck down. Peter was delivered from prison, just as the Israelites were delivered from the house of bondage. And what became of those who had enslaved them? Their firstborn were struck down by the destroyer. They were struck down by the angel of the Lord. And what happened to the host of Pharaoh as they pursued the people of God, as the people of God followed him through the waters of the Red Sea? The host of Pharaoh was thrown down, and they were drowned in those waters as the Israelites passed through in safety. The Exodus was an act of salvation, but it was also an act of judgment. It was an act of salvation through judgment. It was a day of salvation for the people of God, but it was a day of judgment for their enemies. And see what happens to those in that house of bondage where Peter was imprisoned. What becomes of those who guarded the prison where he was? They were put to death. And see what happens to Herod. He also was struck down. And by whom was he struck down? He was struck down by an angel of the Lord. He was struck down by the destroyer. And though not one of the plagues upon Egypt, the manner of Herod's death is certainly like one of those plagues. He was eaten by worms. He endured a painful end. As we see the shadows and hear the echoes of the Exodus and the story of Peter's deliverance, with God working salvation for his people, but destruction for their enemies, we are invited to see the church's life in this world as a new Exodus. The life of the church in this world It is a new exodus. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been slain. And by his resurrection from the dead, we have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness and the bondage of sin. And we are called in haste to follow him. For he is leading us through the wilderness of this world. He is bringing us to the glory of that world to come, a place where he has gone beforehand to prepare it for us. By the death of Herod, we are assured that victory belongs to the Lord. However great the wrath of man, however great the persecution of the church, however dark the hour, however slim our hope, here we are assured that victory belongs to the Lord. Even the wrath of man shall praise God. However great man's wrath, however great his glory, in the end, it will be shown as nothing before the Lord. And so we need not fear man's wrath. We need not be in awe of his glory. For man's wrath will be turned to silence, and his glory to dust. But the church, in all her weakness, in all her affliction, in all her sufferings, in all her tribulations, the church, she will increase and prosper. She will prevail, because victory belongs to the Lord. Now in Acts chapter 12, verse 20, we are told of Herod's wrath. We are told of his anger. He was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. We are told that they came to him with one accord to ask for peace. They depended upon him for their food. And on the appointed day of their asking, we are told that he clothed himself in royal robes, and he sat himself upon his throne, and that he spoke to them in eloquent words. And as he spoke, the people of Tyre and Sidon responded and shouted and kept shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a man." And whether they said this to flatter him, we are not told. But we are told how Herod should have responded to their shouting. We We are told that he ought to have given God the glory. For he was struck down for this reason, because he did not give God the glory. And we can may compare what happens to Herod here with what will happen to Barnabas and Paul in Acts chapter 14 in the city of Lystra. For in that city, Paul heals a man who was lame. He is made to walk. And when the crowds see what Paul has done, they will lift up their voices and say, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." They will prepare to offer sacrifice to them. But when Paul and Barnabas hear of it, what will they do? They will tear their garments. They will rush into the crowd and they will cry out, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men of like nature with you, and we bring good news to you that you should turn from these vain things to a living God, the God who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them." See the difference between Herod and Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas, they do not spare a moment to revel in the glory and adoration being heaped upon them. But immediately they humble themselves before the people and they give glory to God. In Herod, we see the pride of man. We see the pride of the rulers of this world who seek the glory of God for themselves. We see the pride of Pharaoh, when he was told that the Lord had said, "Let my people go," replied in arrogance, "Who is the Lord?" How the Lord does answer him and reveal himself to him, making known to him all his terror. Until at last, this Pharaoh who exalted himself in pride is brought low. We see in Herod the pride of Pharaoh. We see in Herod the pride of Adam. For Adam himself, he sought a glory for himself apart from the Lord. A glory that did not come from the Lord. A glory that need not return to the Lord. But what became of Adam's pride? Adam's pride is turned to shame. We do not see him clothed in glory before the Lord. We see him naked and ashamed before the Lord. We do not see him sitting upon a throne. We see him returning to the ground out of which he was taken. And there he too was eaten by worms. In Herod, we see the pride of Pharaoh. We see the pride of Adam. We see the pride of man. See then the contrast between Herod and the second Adam, the last Adam, the true king of Israel, the king of all kings. He did not put on royal robes when he came to us. Indeed, he allowed himself to be stripped naked. He did not exalt himself upon a throne. Instead, he allowed himself to be lifted up upon a cross. And though he was God, he did not glorify himself or seek his glory from man. Came to us in humility. He humbled himself before us and before the Lord. And see the difference between his end and the end of Herod. For this Christ, when he died, he was not eaten by worms. His body saw no corruption, for death could not hold him. And it was the Lord's purpose to raise him and highly exalt him. And now he dwells in the heavenly places, seated upon a throne and clothed in glory. But even now, as that one highly exalted, even now as the one who sits upon the throne of heaven, even now as one who dwells in unapproachable light, light so bright that it blinded Saul, even now, his heart toward us is lowly. He does not lord his authority over us. And he even makes himself one with us in our afflictions. For what did he say to Saul? Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And though we depend upon him for all things, he does not make us grovel before him for anything. His hands are always open to us. They are always full of grace. See what happens to the man who exalts himself in pride. In the end, he will be humbled. He will be struck down. He will breathe his last. It will become a feast for the lowliest of creatures. But see what happens to that man who humbled himself before the Lord. That man who gives himself as a feast to us. He is highly exalted. His glory is without bounds, and his reign is without end. Though the people declared the voice of Herod to be the voice of a god and not of a man, in the end, his voice was silent and could not be heard. But the voice of the Lord was not silent. The voice of the Lord is not silent. The voice of the Lord is powerful. And the word of God, it increased and multiplied. Whom then shall we fear? Let us not fear the wrath of man. Let us not seek the praise of man. Let us resist the temptation to be glorified by man. And let us clothe ourselves in the humility of the man Jesus Christ. And let us seek that glory that comes from him and returns to him. For all things are from him. And all things are for him. To him be the glory, forever and ever. Amen.